Can we say amen again?
Amen.
That was deep. And they represent Tacoma Academy. I am unashamedly going to advertise and lift up Christian education. A lot of us are a product of Christian education, and I'm eternally grateful. You know, you always say, I don't know where I would be without Christian education. Boy. So, Sister Thrower, Brother Thrower, God bless you guys. Our principal is here, and her husband. Boy. I always say that next to being president, being a principal is the hardest job in America. Because the phone doesn't turn off. So God bless you. Make sure we're praying for our schools. Also to TA Prep. No more Sligo, no more JNA, but they've come together to make an E something even better called Tacoma Academy Prep. It's special, guys. It's very, very special what's going on. So we've joined both. We have TA Prep, we have Tacoma Academy, and they're doing awesome things with our young people, pouring into our young people, educating them, guiding them with Christian principles. We can't assume that these things are going to get put in there, but they help guide and support parents, what you guys are already doing at home. Something special. The title of today's message, You've Been Lied To. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, let your word speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know I have a t-shirt and jeans on, but it is You Sabbath, amen? So don't look too weird at the young people. We're doing this together as a form of camaraderie, amen? So please pray for our young people. Support them. And if you can't come out to the basketball games, where's Coach Yannick? Is Coach Yannick here? Well, yes, we have a game tonight. And it's at Latrice is our league everything. She like wears all the hats. And the game tonight for Tacoma is? Uh-huh. Yes. And Banneker Middle School. So we will appreciate your support. And you can always come there and grab a t-shirt, or you can talk to Cecil and I later, and we can make sure you hook you. Aren't these cool? Didn't Caleb do a great job designing these? And on the back, you guys, great job. What we're going to cover today, what is a lie? Lies in our world today. Lies about the devil, God, and us. And we're going to wrap up with three ways to apply the truth as it is in Jesus. What is a lie? A false statement made with deliberate intent to deceive. Also, something intended or serving to convey a false impression or an imposter. How does this fit in? The young people wanted me to talk about deception. And are we living in the last days? Yes. That is the truth. These are the last days, guys. But I believe that in these last days, God hasn't begun to show his power. There's something awesome that God is going to do in the light of all the drama and all the stress and the concern and the worry and the plight that's going on. God is going to do something awesome. I promise you, buckle up. It's coming, guys. And I want you guys to understand this internet. The internet. There's even a music group called The Internet. What can we believe on this thing? Did y'all know that Facebook has had to hire new staff to combat the fake false news that is sweeping all over Facebook? They see and recognize that it's something that they cannot control, and they're doing their best to try to combat it, hire new staff, so that before you see it on your stream, it's gone through some protocols and confirmed that these these stories, these events that people say are going on are actually happening or have happened. So you cannot believe the second somebody likes it, your friend shares it, and you see it. Why? And I just tossed this one in there. Y'all remember this guy? Some of y'all, some of the older folk remember this guy. You know, for $19.99, you get XYZ. But then he comes on and says, but wait, there's more. And you get all these other things. And I always thought about, okay, well, why? How come I don't see these in every store? How come we have to do it on TV? Because they know that sometimes when we see it on TV, oh, it's got to be true. Man, that's a great deal. These guys are compelling. This guy made a whole career by just this one statement. Let me keep going. Do you all know? Sometimes we go on social media, right? And young people know what I'm talking about. And they've started to recognize this is something dangerous that's going on because people are getting manipulated and deceived by it. You guys don't recognize what this is, but this is a website that you can pay someone to generate, create profiles, accounts, likes, subscriptions, all of fake people. They are not real. Their value and what they do is you don't pay them with regular cash. They do this new thing. It's not Bitcoin, but it's some kind of other coin, some kind of electronic currency that they use so that you can pay for likes, followers, subscriptions, subscribers, so that you can get more legitimacy to your business, to your group, to yourself, by just paying some extra money. They are fake people, and they pride themselves on having almost genuine profile pictures and all these things that go on these so-called accounts just to legitimize what you're doing. This is some sophisticated things that are going on because we've lifted up these likes and we've lifted up these subscriptions. Wow, they have this many subscribers, this many likes and follows. They must be legit. Brothers and sisters, if you believe that, you've been lied to. Oh boy. This has been one of the most polarizing videos, I would say at least the top 10 ever. People don't want to watch this because they know and have been convicted that they need to change how they live and how they eat. Boy, oh boy, this is, and we know, you know, everybody knows, okay, well, I need to stop, I need to drive by the drive-thru, you know, I got to go home and eat at home, we know that. But sometimes when videos like this come out, it literally draws a line in the sand that you have to make a decision whether or not you're going to accept it or not and change your life or keep going and make excuses for why you're not. And if you don't think what they're saying in there, and then the instant this comes out, all kind of naysayers. Well, you don't want to get, how about just taking what you know to be true and slowly but surely adding it to your life instead of trying to dismiss and put this down? Oh boy, I knew this was going to be a tough sermon today. I'm not slowing down either. Anybody recognize this guy right here? His name is Colin Kaepernick, former quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. And he decided to leave out of his contract in hopes for a better contract. But because of his stance for social injustice, of what's been happening to those of color by the certain individuals, not the whole police department, church. We can't paint with a big brush that all cops are doing these things. Certain individual rogue cops are getting away with harming and or killing young, unarmed, black, and Hispanic, and those of color. And the justice system seems unwilling to prosecute them. So he said, I'm going to take a knee during the national anthem to protest nonviolently what the situation is. And because of this, he no longer has a job. They have hired way less capable quarterbacks over him over and over and over. And because of his stance, he has galvanized the NFL, has taken a big blow ratings-wise because of his stance. And I was one of them. I watched two quarters of football this whole season. And the only reason I watched that is when one of my best friends, he was having his 40th birthday party, and it was on, and I just wanted to kind of be there. But at halftime, I just said, okay, I'm going to holler at you later, and I left. For me personally, now I'm not making any kind of political whatever, but from what I heard from certain owners of the NFL, they'd rather you keep to the flag, acknowledging the flag, not the principles of the flag, by the way. Not the principles of it. Every man created equal, blah, blah. No. Just the flag. If you don't acknowledge it and stand with your hand over your heart for this flag, not what it stands for, you're going to be ostracized. You might get cut. You might get let go from the team. And I could not, in my gut, in my spirit, I could not stand for that. Because what they were telling me was that this flag is more important than my life. Not the principles of the flag, just the flag. And if we believe, that put a line in my mind that they would rather you acknowledge this flag as opposed to stand for social injustice. They don't care. They don't care, it seems. They didn't make any kind of statements when these situations were going on. All these individuals were being killed by law, certain individuals of law enforcement, and no, these NFL owners that are the majority of the league players are black. Let me keep going. I wish this whole Black Lives Matter movement, I wish they would just add this. Black Lives Matter too. Not to negate the others, but we need to acknowledge what's going on. You cannot put your head in the sand too long, church and individuals. Because when you do not make a stand, you stand for the worst possible outcome. I tell this to the young people all the time. When you don't choose, by default, you are voting for the worst possible client or president. Whatever, the worst possible outcome when you don't make a stand. Where does God come into all this? God gets a bad rap these days, guys. He gets a bad rap. You know, when we think about, and like Caleb prayed about, you know, Mexico and Houston and Florida, all these different disasters. And we said, it's not about if it's God's fault. It's like, why did you let these things happen? And people use that as an excuse as why they say, you know what? I can't believe in a God that will allow all these things to happen. And this is a good question. My young people challenge me with questions. And I love it. I don't push them away and say, I do my best to answer their questions. And the challenge with this is not about if these things will happen, Christians, but how we are to respond to them. We have to know how to respond, not if they're going to happen. The Bible told us it's going to happen. We have to choose and make sure we are responding the right way. Let me keep going. The devil, the greatest trick of the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he doesn't exist. So he knows how to deflect, how to hide behind, God, how come you let that happen? But more times than not, he's the originator. He's the orchestrator. He's the manipulator of situations that cause any and every bad thing that's ever happened to us is number one, primarily the result and the goal and the motive of the enemy. We need to recognize that. See, the Bible says, and I was trying to understand what's this text and how does it relate to you being lied to. I said, wait a minute. What's going on here? See, the Bible says in Revelation 13, verse 16, it says he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Now, you know, I'm not a Greek scholar like Pastor Chris is, but I did try to look it up and delve into that word causeth, cause. And it came out that he would eventually come to the point, once he got past deceiving us and tricking us, if that didn't work, he's going to force us to do it. And I'm explaining how that's important because of where we are today. What about us? What about us? This book right here is called Belonging. And the author of this book, Ron Rocky, stood right here in this desk and preached on binding the wounds. Anybody remember that? It was a long time ago. Some of us remember. And this book spoke about something so powerful. And I was wondering, how does Revelation, when the Bible says he'll cause all, apply to what I'm talking about today? So let me share. Let me read you this quote. Forgive the small font, but I'll share this with anybody who wants it. But I need y'all to listen to this now. You've been lied to. This is extremely important. And we have to recognize the source of the lies and so we can address it properly. This affects us. And by the way, how many of us, just by a show of hands, have been affected or know someone close to our family, in our family, that's been affected by cancer? Yeah. Probably a strong, high percentage, about 70%, maybe 75% of us. Now, I don't want anybody to raise their hand, but what I'm talking about is I wonder the correlation between how many of us have been affected by cancer as compared to abuse. I'm going somewhere. Let me read this. It is during these character-forming years that Satan attempts to sting children with his poisonous venom and emotionally paralyze them for life by causing them to suffer from unmet needs, from sexual, emotional, and physical abuse, all of which create feelings of rejection in the child. This is deep stuff. This is deep stuff. The reason why is because the devil knows if I could get to him early, if I could get to the children early, I can inject my poison into them, into their mind and in their heart, so that they are easier to be manipulated in the last days. When we have weak boundaries, we are more susceptible to deception. And the devil knows that, so he doesn't wait until whatever laws are going to be passed to force people to do it. He starts early. He starts when we are young. Some of us have gone through this. Some of us are living lives strictly as a reaction to what happened to us in the past. Not because the Spirit of God is motivating you to do it. Not because of you and your relationship with God. He's ordained you and you recognize the ordination on your life to do what he's called you to do. Mama said I would never be anything. I'll show her. They'll be sorry. Let me tell you how this is true. Anybody been paying attention to the news these days? And see all these Hollywood stars coming out of the woodworks? The lid has literally blown off of Hollywood because of the sexual abuse that goes on over there. And because people want to react to what has happened to them in the past, they open themselves up, they make themselves vulnerable to abuse and attack just for the price of fame and fortune. But now the lid cannot stay on top of Hollywood. The abuse has come out. One after another after another after another. These Hollywood producers and these actors and everybody that's rich and famous can take advantage of, manipulate, stop, and push down weak boundary people and take advantage of them. They couldn't take it anymore, church. Now they said, you know what? We need to call out the truth of what's happening. And my challenge for the church is we need to do the same. Listen, it's because it's the last days, we cannot play around with this thing. We need to call the truth out. See, listen. Once again, church, it's not based, your life is not determined on what strictly has happened to you. It's how you respond to what's happened to you that makes a difference. That's where the gospel of Jesus Christ comes in. That's where the gospel could come and turn your life around and change your heart and yank that poison out, that emotional pain. Every time you think about that situation, that issue, that problem, that abuse that happened to you, it's like you never grew past it. You're like you're literally regressing right back to how old you were when it happened. That's not freedom, church. That's not the gospel, church. The gospel wants to set us free from the emotional pain from the memory of the event. That's the gospel. That's what Jesus Christ went and took to the cross. All your issues, all your abuse, all your pain. And where I'm going today, church, and young people, we are accountable and responsible to deal with our stuff. We can't be afraid any longer to bring these things to the surface. Yes, this happened to me. It happened. But again, our lives are not determined. We are not determined by what has been done to us. That's not where our worth and value come from, anyways. Let me keep going. This book right here, every Christian alive should read this book. It's called Boundaries by Henry Cloud. Look this up. Both of those books, but this one as well. And this is what we had our Team Versus the World Challenge, a series that we've been doing on Friday nights for TV Talk. And I teach them these principles. This is one. Learning to set personal boundaries is the single most important developmental task of adolescence and young adulthood. How to allow the good in and keep the bad out. Y'all think it's not important to teach our children these things? The word no. What you will do and what you will not do, and not based on a reaction that if I don't go along, I won't have any friends anymore. I won't have a job anymore. I tell them to read this. We did it just last night. Just last night I told them, listen, we are responsible for each of us individually saying no without guilt. No. No. Y'all think it's so simple? It's not. Some people will almost have something physically will hurt them if they were to spill those words accidentally out of their mouth. Some folk. Listen, I know what that's all about. Pastor Will, I grew up in this church. And I knew what it was like to want to be accepted and to want to be acknowledged. So I ran around doing everything. Yes, 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 yes. Come on, leaders. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But then all of a sudden, I started resenting wanting to come to church. And I started resenting people that would ask me every time to do the same thing, knowing I didn't want to do it in the first place. And I should have said no the first time, but I felt guilty. Can I tell you? Listen. Y'all, well, I hope y'all recognize by now, whether y'all want me to tell the truth or not, I'm going to do it. saying no without guilt. I can end the sermon. That's it. What's the next one? Asking for what you want or need. Well, he should just know. Now, husbands, now listen. I've had my jive turkey moments. I can share with it later, but we do have to pay attention to our spouses, fellas, husbands. We have to pay attention, okay? But wives, help the husbands out. Just, you know, sometimes we have this haywire gene, this jive turkey gene that sometimes goes off in our lives, and we lose focus and we don't pay attention anymore. Kindly, lovingly remind us. Husbands know, see, I'm quiet. I know the husbands are quiet and his wives are just as quiet. Take care of yourself. No one else is responsible for you. That's why I tell the young people, where's my phone? I don't know where my phone is. I gave it to so-and-so. Teach them, if they lose it, guess what? They're not getting another one. Especially my young men. Don't give it to them, parents. Don't do it. You lose one, save up and get another one. That's on you. Let me keep going. I'm hard on my young men, but listen, young men don't need a lot. Just give them simple instructions. 1, 2, 3, boom, boom, boom. Be where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there. Simple things like that. Simple. If they would do that, 99% of the issues they have won't ever show up. Be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. Saying yes because you want to, not out of obligation. We kind of went over that. Behaving according to your own beliefs and values. Values or beliefs. You have to decide what you're going to do. Not because of what this group of people are doing, which is called a gang, by the way. Gangs are being overpopulated because our young men have weak boundaries and don't know what to say no, don't know what to say yes to, and they fall in line to be accepted and part of the group. They'll go along. This doesn't take long. It starts at junior high. It doesn't take long for them to end up in gangs, robbing and killing folk. Just to get along because they don't have the mental and the emotional courage to say no. They know it's wrong. Let me read this one. Boundary setting is about respect, honoring other people's integrity as separate, valuable human beings with different approaches to life and different ways of doing things. It's about respect. Ooh, boy. I don't know if I want to read this quote, but I'm going to read it. It's up there for a reason. Now, listen. This quote right here says, demon spirit. See, this is why we need to have strong boundaries in the Word of God, and we need to know what the Word of God says. Listen close. Demon spirits love to play games with the minds of humans. They flash thoughts and images into people's minds with such delicate skill that the recipients believe them to be their own reasonings. So, you're telling me, so sometimes when something a thought comes into my mind, I want to watch pornography? That's not really me. Our job as Christians is to recognize the enemy from every single direction he could possibly come at us. That's why we can't go and trust all our emotions. They are dangerous. Now, they're good as far as when we are aligned, just like a car, when the alignment is good, you don't have to do too much driving. You just keep your hands steady, right? But when the alignment is off, you got to do extra. We need to be properly aligned so that when these thoughts come in, that's the enemy. I don't care who said it. Even if I think I said it. By faith, I know me and my connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm over that. I'm free from that. That doesn't hold on to me anymore. I'm glad y'all let me preach in here today. Let me read another one. And from the belongings. But at the core of every human being exists since Adam and Eve and those alive today, there is a lie implanted by God's enemy. It became part of Adam and Eve when they sinned, and they proved it by hiding from God and by attempting to cover themselves with leaves. This lie states that you have no worth or value. Church, you've been lied to. This lie has a lot of our young people cutting themselves, attempting suicide. I've been at the bed of two in the last year and a half, at the bedside, right in the hospital. This stuff is real. The lie, y'all, as you look internally at your thoughts and feelings, which are your character, and outwardly at your behaviors, you're convinced that the lie is the truth. And our lives, we have the lie, and our lives are everything we do after we believe the lie is to protect the lie. It's kind of backwards, but see, that's why Jesus needs to come in there and take the truth out. So now you can live based on right, whole decisions as opposed to a reaction to the negative lie and the things that have happened to you early on. The cosmetic and fashion industries of today make their fortunes by those of us who feel we must cover and camouflage what we are convinced is truth, our worthlessness. Again, guys, this is the last thing. I can't backpedal. I can't slow down. I can't not say these things. There's literally no time. And the Bible says things like, if you haven't run with the footmen, how are you going to go with the horses? That's a spiritual principle that we need to start now dealing with our stuff. We all have it. Every single one of us have had some type of abuse or neglect that's happened. The devil, he prides himself in it when we're young. Y'all know who y'all are. Y'all walked into this sanctuary knowing who you were, knowing you had stuff to deal with. Let me keep going. See, a lot of young people and a lot of young men think, oh, as long as I get some money, I get my new Jays. These are coming out in 2018. Now listen. It's nothing wrong with having nice shoes. And when I marry a nice, you know, this is Riri. They, you know, that's who they call Rihanna. That's Riri. This is Rihanna. So the fellas say, hey, as long as I got a fat wad of money in my pocket, I got my fresh J's, and I got me a beautiful girl, I'm good. But a lot of times, all these things that we do outwardly are just to mask the lie that we don't want anybody to see how insecure and how worthless we feel, so we do all these other things. The car we drive, sometimes where we live, the degrees we get. Nothing wrong with degrees, nothing wrong with nice houses or cars. But what's your motive? Some of us are literally killing ourselves at the sake of our children to cover up the lie. We don't spend time with our kids. We don't talk to our kids. No, I got to keep hustling. I can't let nobody see what's going on. And when we walk into church, happy Sabbath. Smile so fake. I'll say it. Just smile is about brittle and fake as. Huh? I'm trying to tell the truth here. We got to be honest. Honesty, church. The world wants, should want, what we have. Victory and healing. That's why the lid blew off of Hollywood, because Hollywood didn't have what it took to heal the human heart. The church is supposed to be what it has. I could come in here wounded and broken, but could leave out healed and restored. Satan's plan to defeat humanity is one of self-destruction. Starting with children. Starting with children, Randall Terry, co-founder of Operation Rescue, was quoted in October 21, 1991, years ago, issue of Time Magazine saying, "I believe there's a devil, and here's Satan's agenda. First, he doesn't want anyone having children. Secondly, if they do conceive, he wants them killed." We already know that. We get that, right? We understand. "If they're not killed through abortion, he wants them neglected, abused, physically, emotionally, sexually. Because he knows if I could get them." So their whole life, they question God. They question their sexuality, all because of the lie. Church, you've been lied to. If you believe these kind of things, that your life is built up and surrounded and better because you have things. That's not the truth, guys. Let's keep going. Just last night, we had a great discussion. Let me just read this real quick. And I know we got to wrap up. Let me get out of here. But I want y'all to see this. Some of us actually believe that if someone is physically assaulting you, I should turn the other cheek and continue to let them physically assault me. That is not what Jesus was talking about. It's simply not, church. And I need y'all to understand this, because when we have this in our mind and we tell our children, don't defend yourself. See, we got to watch these things that we insinuate, church. Let me keep going. To finish this sentence, this phrase, some of us, if it wasn't based on money or our job or our GPA or our, you know, degrees or how attractive our spouse is or, you know, how much money we got in the bank, I don't know how many of us will say something positive right here. How are you? Fine. I'll never forget this. Our youth leader back in the day used to tell us, when we're fine, we're fearful, insecure, neurotic, emotional. So see how when we get it, we just say these placid, fake plastic responses, auto responses. How you doing, friend? I'm gonna keep you away with that word because I don't want you to deal with anything that's going on in here. I'd rather drink. I'd rather smoke weed. I'd rather stay online, shop, sleep. I'm fine. Don't ask me any questions. I'd rather stay there. This marijuana thing has exploded as a reaction because the world doesn't know how to handle their problems. So they have to smoke the weed all day long. Now it's become legal in a lot of places. The laws have come out now to defend the insecurities and the lack of everyone. Oh, let me just touch on this. Back to boundaries, guys. Ladies, If a dude texts you or calls you, "What's up, wifey?" block him. I can sit down right now. Block him. Delete his number. Block him. Unfollow him. Wifey? Don't dare let him call you that. I'm worth more than your wifey. Because that's when you're getting the goods but not having the responsibility. Wifey, get that out of here. Set your boundaries, ladies. I can't stand this term. Let me keep. Because it speaks to the fellas being irresponsible, don't want commitment, don't want to step to the plate, but still get everything else. See, when you date and break up, guess what's ahead? Oh, I was really serious about him anyways. Now the world thinks marriage is a mockery now. Now the young people do is date and break up. Now the adults divorce and remarry. Because he set bad habits. See, love is a choice, not a feeling. So husbands, when it's time to go home, you might not feel like going home, but you need to take your butt home. Go home. Some days he might get on your nerves. Nowadays, I got to tell the wives now, go home. Go home, whether you feel like it or not. You made a choice. And love is a feeling. See, I've been lied to. I'm trying to. Love is a choice, church. I must choose to go home to my wife of 10 years. I'm going home every day. Now, I'm blessed because I'm happy to go home. And if you need to work on some things, you got to work on some things. It's okay to have issues. Again, it's not about what happens to you, but how you respond to what happens to you in your marriage, in your home, with your children. How are you going to respond? You have to take responsibility. Let me wrap up this thing. See, and then the Bible says, and this is kind of out of order, but the Bible says, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. See, the world says, oh, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. We're going to work it out. Number 45? Yeah, number 45. Number 45 is there, but all is not lost. All is not lost. You know, let me keep going. Three ways to accept the truth. Hey, number one, listen to me, church. Listen to me. Three ways to accept the truth in Christ. Number one, accept responsibility for the truth. Say to yourself and church, say to your neighbor, I am responsible. Yeah. We must accept responsibility for our actions and everything we do. The Bible says, so then, my beloved, even as ye have always been obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now and much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's not fear like, oh, God, please don't throw a lightning bolt at me. I'm trying. That's not what God is talking about. Fear, the Bible says, fear represents respect. And if y'all were paying any attention to what Pastor Chris was preaching during his Connect series, he broke this word down brilliantly. It's not about being afraid of God. We need to respect God. Fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come. Judgment meaning in our favor. I know we're going long, but y'all stay with me. We're wrapping up. For it is God. He is responsible. All we have to do is place ourselves in position. He's responsible. He's the one that works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Number two, live daily in connection to the truth. The Bible says, one of my favorite texts, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides, we don't just abide for one day or for one Sabbath or for one month. Abide is a daily thing. Every day we go home and we abide. Young people, we need to spend that 15 minutes. Grab that 15 minutes. Carve it out of your schedule. I mean, those edges should be so sharp, nobody touches that time. With you and your Creator, you and your God. We have to take responsibility for our relationship with God. It's not based on anybody else. God wants you to be a victor, not a victim. We have to be able to call, when we finish that statement, I am, or I'm called of God, chosen, the apple of my Father's eye, being changed into his image. I'm a new creation. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am forgiven of all my sins. I am redeemed from the curse. I am blessed. I am above and not beneath. I am elect. I am victorious. I am one in Christ. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am set free. That's the kind of way we should respond as Christians. That's the way we should respond and have that confidence. Every day we go out of the door, we are confident. God is with me. I am blessed, and I will, everything my hand touch, God will bless. At my job, when I teach, when I serve, whatever it is. Number three, last one. Remove any and every negative and painful. I was trying to think of a word, but I didn't put it in there. Remove all, any and every negative or painful thing from our life. You know what those things are. See, the Bible says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. Let. That means it's a choice. You have to do it. Let. See, this is why people stop reading their Bibles. It took me some time to figure it out. We stop reading this Bible and we stop getting into this word because all of a sudden we keep reading it and we spend time in it and we're reading it. Then we start feeling uncomfortable. And then all of a sudden it's like a big old mirror and it's starting to expose the blemishes and the issues and the weak character and the immorality and the crazy thoughts. Oh, I'm too tired. Oh, somebody's texting me. Oh, I got to go finish this homework. All to stay away from this thing dealing with your stuff. That's how powerful the word of God is. It will start to expose the weak areas, and all God is trying to do is saying, I'll say, listen, I need to ask permission to remove and deal with this out of your life. Will you let me? See, God respects our boundaries, church. He's not going to just barge in and kick down the door and say, you're going to deal with this now. He loves us. And he respects us. And he comes, the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's respect, church. But we need to do that. We need to let him in every day. Say, God, I give you permission to come into my heart and mind. I might find some things that I'm not happy with and I don't like. But I want you to deal with it. I give you permission. And God wants to. He's seen what's happened to you. He was there when all this abuse went down. But see, God, and we wonder, why did God let all these bad things happen? Because he's given us the dignity of choice. We can choose to ruin our lives. And we can choose to allow the devil to allow us to ruin other people's lives. He's given us the dignity of choice. We can choose to accept him or not. We can choose to be saved or not. He's not going to drag anybody to heaven. As we close, Pastor Anwar, if you could come and just play. Church, I didn't want to preach this sermon. I could barely sleep. I was going back and forth. But I knew it was the truth. And this song stuck in my spirit. I've listened to it over and over and over again this week. It says, you thought I was worth saving, and you came and gave your life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone that I know. Is there one today that says, you know what? I'm done with no more lies in my life. I'm tired of the lies. I don't want to live a lie anymore. I want to live what's true. I want to accept Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. If that's you, I want to invite you to come down. It's time to be free, church. I mean, all the way, deep, deep, deep down at the center of our heart, where the devil tried to put a lie in there. Jesus was to come and replace the lie with the truth that you are somebody. You are worthy. You're so worthy that I chose to give my life for you. Is there one? Pastor Will's right here. We'll study, we'll talk with you, we'll pray with you. But the lie should end today. You came in here knowing the lie, living the lie, feeling uncomfortable with the lie, but still trying to go forward. It ends today. Anybody? I know it's difficult, but it's the truth. It's just like an infection. If you don't deal with the infection becomes a disease. Let Jesus and his word and his Holy Spirit deal with the infection of the lies that you've been told, the abuse you've gone through, going through. Well, I'm here. And after we end all this, if you want to come talk to me, that's fine. Email me, text me, whatever. But it's time to start the process, to turn your life around, to be free 100%. See, this is the victory that Jesus promised us. He didn't go to the cross for junk. God uses gold for asphalt in heaven. What do you think he wants to do for you? Let's pray, church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. We thank you today for the power of your word. We thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I lift up every single abuse event in our lives. Lord God, I lift up every abortion in our lives. Lord God, I lift up every suicide attempt in our lives. And I cancel the devil's assignment in our lives because of the blood and the power of Jesus Christ. We cancel it today. It will be no more power over us. No more lies controlling us. The truth is what we want to live by. Bless each and every one of us, God. Give us the courage to expose the lie and replace it with your truth, that we are somebody. We are forgiven. We are set free. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you for what you have done and what you will do. In Jesus' name we pray, and God's people said together, amen. God bless you. Thank you.